Hey there, everyone. Happy Tuesday. It is August 16th. I'm Denise Salcedo. You're watching Speak Now Pro Wrestling. Each and every Tuesday, I am here to cover NXT 2.0. And today we are going to be discussing Heat Wave, which was a pretty damn good show here today. There's a lot of things I'm really excited to talk about. We got a huge surprise at the close of this show. We got a lot of good in-ring work. We got a lot of hope in terms of maybe some people that we may be expecting to see go up over to the main roster. On top of that, we just got a bunch of really awesome things to actually talk about here today. So I can't wait to actually talk about today's show. Woo! Anyways, but before we get into everything, for those of you who are just getting here, thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, this is a very interactive show, so please feel free to send in your thoughts, your opinions. Let me know what your favorite parts of NXT 2.0 Heat Wave were today. If you watched the show, if you didn't watch the show, go ahead and let me know, and I'll go ahead and make sure to get some of those stuff in here. On top of that, if you want to make sure your questions, comments, or statements get read on the show, and you also want to help support me and this stream, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point throughout the show, and I will make sure to read your comment if you do send in a super chat, and they also just, you know, helps me stay funded and whatnot. Alrighty, everybody, but let's go ahead and jump into the show, because like I said, there's actually a lot of good stuff to talk about. First and foremost, let's kick things off with the intro that we got for today. So obviously, you know, it being a former ECW pay-per-view, you had Paul Heyman do the intro for Heat Wave here tonight, and it was pretty damn awesome because it's Paul Heyman. He's good at what he does, and to have him just intro the intro into the show was kind of, you know, a little extra special touch. So that was great to kind of just have that, you know, prep us up for the show. So that was nice. Fun stuff there. But let's actually get into the first match, which was for the NXT North American Championship, and this was Carmella Hayes versus Giovanni Vinci. Now, this was, I think, a lot better than I expected, and not so much like that, you know, Carmella Hayes, he's honestly been a really phenomenal NXT North American champion. He's held the championship belt twice now as NXT North American champion. He's been champion twice, but he's done a really, really good job. Like, I really honestly, like, even going back a couple like reviews ago, I would have never even taken off the NXT North American championship from him just because I thought he was doing such a great freaking job as champion. Granted, I was happy to see Cameron Grimes win and all of that, but I just think that Carmella Hayes has legitimately been doing a good job. And especially since they gave the title back to him, I almost feel like they should have never taken the title off of him. But whatever, that's a story for another time. But Carmella Hayes has been such a good NXT North American champion that it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder how different or how things would have been had he came in during the black and gold era of NXT. Had he came in during that era and been NXT North American champion, or at least been on the roster, because I legitimately think that if Carmella Hayes was part of the NXT era during like the black and gold time, I think he would have grown like a lot faster and just had like, he would have been somebody that would have been really cool to see how they started from point A to point B. But whatever, different time periods, whatever. He's been doing a great job is what I'm trying to get at. And so during this, I kind of started thinking to myself, like, if Carmella Hayes was to be pulled up to the main roster, like right now, I do think that he would be freaking awesome on the main roster. Now, part of me at first going into this match, I thought, oh, it's clear. Carmella Hayes needs to retain the NXT North American Championship. That's how I felt heading into this match. However, this was a really good opener, I feel. And the ending of this match, I really enjoyed, especially because I thought that Giovanni Vinci, he did a great job, man. He did a great job. He went in there. There were some things that I really liked, including when he did the springboard moonsault. I thought that was awesome. And prior to that, he did like a splash to the outside of the ring. I thought that he really leveled, he brought a lot of good stuff because obviously he's already good. We already know that, but he brought a lot of good stuff to this match where part of me wanted to see Giovanni Vinci win the NXT North American Championship. Like, had he won here tonight, I honestly would not have been, like, bothered or upset by that by any means, because they kind of got me to the point where I wouldn't have minded if I saw it. And they completely, like, made me shift my feelings, because, again, prior to the match actually starting, I was for sure, like, thinking, okay, Carmella Hayes has to win, and that's that. So I kind of like that they made me change my mind a little bit by the end of this match here. So this was fun. They had a lot of really good stuff here. You know, the double clothesline was pretty awesome. Vinci doing all those chops to Carmella Hayes garnered a really good crowd reaction. And eventually we did see Trick Williams try to get involved in the match. I really wish they didn't have that one portion of it, because I thought when Trick Williams got involved, it looked a little like clunky, but everything else and leading up to the finish and actually having Carmella Hayes pick up the win, I thought was pretty damn solid. So this was a pretty good opener. Fan of both guys. Good stuff, honestly. Giovanni Vinci, since he got repackaged as Giovanni Vinci, it's been cool. It's been different. It's been fun. So let's see, what did you guys think of this opening match? And would it have bothered you had Giovanni Vinci actually won the NXT North American Championship? In fact, did part of you kind of want to see him win the NXT North American Championship by the end of this match? Let's see what people are saying here. This is from Nick Grasso. Thank you so much to Nick Grasso for getting us started, getting us going with our first super chat of the day. Nick says, what's with the NXT UK talent? Are they unifying both brands, or are they combining both shows into one? Dude, for like the longest time, I have been thinking that they're pretty much just like slowly draining the NXT UK brand, in the sense where they're plucking things that they want to eventually, I would say, get rid of it. Like, at this point, I don't really feel like anybody is really like, at least I haven't seen very many people talk about NXT UK. And I kind of feel like it's kind of a dead brand at this point. And I hate saying it that way, but it to me, it doesn't feel like worth actually keeping around still. I feel like they could just take what they want from that brand and incorporate it now into this NXT 2.0, or incorporate some of these people into the main roster, however they see fit. So I won't be surprised if we do get a title unification, because we'll talk more about this once we actually talk about how the show ended, because this is when we're really going to have to talk about it. But based on how things ended here tonight, I have a feeling that if we're thinking that they're going to unify the NXT UK championship and the NXT championship, I wouldn't say that we're too far off based on how things ended here tonight. But again, we'll talk about that more once we actually get to the outro of the show. But thank you so much to Nick Grasso for getting us started with Super Chats. Again, if you do want to make sure to get your question, comment, or statement read and help support this show, feel free to send one in as well. Thank you to Nick Grasso. So let's see what people thought about this match here today and see what people are saying. This is from Bobby C, who says that they wanted Carmelo to lose because I want him to be in a program with Breaker and throw a bone to Vinci for having been split up from Imperium. This is completely true, dude. Like, I completely agree with you. Like, Carmelo Hayes, okay, like, let's say we didn't know Tyler Bate was coming out tonight, right? Like, we didn't know obviously, we didn't know that he was coming out tonight. So if you were like, okay, who should be like a next opponent for Braun Breaker, right? Because, you know, they've been kind of, you know, scratching the surface a little bit, trying to find opponents for Braun Breaker. Like, Cameron Grimes is a great opponent. Santos Escobar, great opponent. JD McDonagh, pretty great opponent too. But the Joe Gacy stuff, maybe not the best, but they could have easily at any point, like, inserted Carmelo Hayes, and it would have been a phenomenal program with him and Braun Breaker. So I completely agree with you wanting to see this. And then on top of that, same thing for Vinci. Like, dude, come on. Like, you know, his two guys, his two buddies, they go up to the main roster and they're all having, you know, a bomb ass time from the look of it. And, you know, he's stuck on NXT 2.0. Like, that's obviously going to suck, considering that they were all an item, all a unit. And then, you know, two of the besties get called up and you're the one that's like not getting called up. Like, that obviously sucks. Anybody here in that situation would not be happy with that. I would not be happy with that. So I do kind of would have liked the same thing. Like, throw him a bone, man. Give him the NXT North American Championship. And it's not like he's a great worker. Like, he's entertaining to watch. So it wouldn't have been like, oh, just a pity thing. Nah, it would have been like, he's, you know, he's actually good. So it wouldn't be like a pity thing is what I'm trying to get at here. Franklin also brings up that Vinci should have been called up with Gunther. Completely agree, but, you know, decisions were made. I mean, they can always do that, but it's like he just started doing this thing, like this Giovanni Vinci thing. He just started this. Like, this hasn't been going on too long, you know? All right, we got a super chat here from Sheldon and Jackson who says, I'm good with Carmella retaining. I'm thinking that this is their way to either ending NXT UK or trying to get more eyes on it and people to watch it. This feels to me more like an ending than a, hey, look at NXT UK. You should be watching. No, this to me feels more like an ending. That's the way that I'm reading this whole situation. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for always being very supportive and generous on this show. Steven says he sends in a super chat. Here we go. Thank you so much for pointing this out. Darf Steven sends in a super chat saying, very grateful for Denise and the podcast party. Hell yeah, dude. Thank you so much for the awesome super chat and for pointing it out here. All right, let's go ahead and continue on from this. So we got some good stuff already in terms of the opening of the show. And let's get into the next item that we've got because there's some more NXT UK involvement here. So we kick things off with Creed Brothers and the Diamond Mine, and they're out there in the ring. And this has been something that if you've been watching NXT 2.0 for the last couple of weeks, months, whatever, I think we've all kind of gotten to the breaking point where we're like, just break up already, Diamond Mine. Please just break up. I just want them to break up, be over and done with, etc. So I was very happy because when the whole, you know, when the Creed Brothers were out there and they were talking about how, you know, they became champions and this and that, but that somebody is holding them back, right? Somebody is holding back the Creed Brothers. Somebody is holding back the Diamond Mine. And we all know that they were talking about Roderick Strong. Everybody knew it except for Roderick Strong. And then they finally focused their attention on Roderick. And Roderick's like, no. Like, you guys are the best, man. You guys are freaking awesome. I believe in you guys so much. You can totally take the Usos and this and that. This was literally the guy who wants, like, this was literally any relationship. If you've ever been dumped and there's that one person that's like, please, no, don't leave me. This was what Roderick Strong was essentially acting like. Please, no, you're wonderful. You're marvelous. I will do anything for you. That sort of thing was kind of how I read this whole situation. But in the meantime, I was just thinking, break up, dump them. Let's move on, man. I'm so sick and tired of this Diamond Mine story and whether or not they're going to break up or not. I've had it already. I've peaked. My interest has peaked in this weeks ago, actually. But anyways, so we all know he's calling out Roderick Strong. They had their little interaction there. So they're going off about how, you know, Roderick Strong is basically saying like, nah, I got your guys' back. But the Creed Brothers are like, nah, you're just going to stab us in the back. Damon Kemp is literally just an innocent bystander at this point, just standing there looking all aloof and whatnot. And then they end up getting jumped from behind by Gallus. So they come through. You got Mark, you got Wolfgang, you got all of them coming in here and jumping them. And I thought, oh, great, cool, whatever, right? Fine, that's cool and dandy. But my whole situation with this was, does this mean that the Diamond Mine's not breaking up? Because I've had it. I don't even care. I didn't even care about the attack or anything. Like, for me, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I really didn't care. I just thought, so are they over? Are they not over? Where are we at with this Diamond Mine situation? But anyways, afterwards, later on in the evening, we do see Gallus confront the NXT UK Tag Team Champions and Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. And they want the titles. They want the titles back at what they say is the rightful place. Cool. Whatever. Thoughts on this, guys? Thoughts on Gallus? Thoughts on the Diamond Mine? Thoughts on the Creed Brothers? Let's see what people are saying about this. And we got a super chat here from Brandon Rosen. Thank you so much to Brandon, who says, I guess Gallus doesn't like Creed with their coffee. Good one. I like that. Good one. Thank you, Brandon, for the play on words. I appreciate it. all right. Let's see what else we got here. And I'm trying to get some good ones in here and see what people are saying. Layden Lester says, after manipulating you to cut everyone else out of your life, I've had that ex-boyfriend, Denise. That's all. Well, that's not awesome, but I like that you brought up the comment though, because that's pretty damn hilarious. All right, let's go ahead and continue on from here, guys. Seems like we don't really have too much interest in spending too much time discussing the diamond mind here. But let's get to this. Let's continue on from here. So after this, let's get into Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez. Now, this has been probably one of the main, like, focal, like, one of the main stories on NXT 2.0 has been Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, former besties, former one-week NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, and until Cora Jade turned on Roxanne Perez. Now, before we get into this match itself, I'm going to take a moment here to plug my interview with Roxanne Perez. So I got very lucky, and I was the only media member that I know of that got to interview Roxanne over at the WrestleMania 39 launch party. Now, if you guys haven't watched that interview, check it out, because legitimately, you know, it's like, I think what, like a less than 10 minute interview. But in that period of time, I got to find out a lot about her experience in terms of trying to get like how she got hired by WWE. She talks about how they actually didn't hire her off of her first tryout. Like, think about that. She didn't get hired off of her first tryout. And then she got invited back into an extensive tryout, which lasted 3 weeks. So she didn't make the one where it was like 3 days, but she made the one that was like 3 weeks. And she talks about that, and you know, kind of having to go through that. She talks about the advice that Bianca Belair gave her and how that basically helped her get signed with the company. And then she comes and talks to me about, you know, winning the breakout tournament, winning you know, the tag team titles, you know, going for the championship immediately thereafter. So she talks a lot of good stuff about her you know, her time so far in NXT and how WWE has like legitimately changed her life. So if you want to check out that quick but sweet interview that is up over on my channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. But now let's go ahead and talk about this match here. So I feel like for the most part, guys, like when you have a story like this with Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, you know that this isn't going to be the end of it. You know that this is really just the beginning of this story, because there's so much already. This is going to be a long-term feud, okay? You don't just go from like being friends, being tag team champions to one match and it's a one and done, right? You just don't do that. So we already knew that there was going to have to be some sort of method in which Cora Jade won this match unfairly, and she did. So even though it was predictable, it was the way that I think it had to play out in order to continue telling the story between Cora Jade and Roxanne, because I wanted to get to the point where it's like one of the, I want to see it become a feud that is just really freaking great in the sense that it gets deep, it gets personal. And I think that they can try that with them. And I want to get it to the point where like this feud is like them trying to like beat each other with like weapons. I would love to see a like trilogy for this. I think that there's just a lot that they can do here with Cora Jade and Roxanne. So I'm really looking forward to the long-term storytelling of this specific feud. But anyways, this match itself, I immediately love that Roxanne, keep in mind, like she, Cora Jade costed her her gold, her and her titles, you know, she costed her. She made her lose the NXT Women's Championship match because of her. She no longer is an NXT Tag Team Champion. So Cora Jade really messed with her, right? So I didn't want to see this match start off with them just, you know, doing a rest hold or something like that. And that's what I love, is that Perez got screwed by Cora Jade. So she started off this match like hot and heavy, like running towards her and going into the attack on Cora Jade immediately. And I thought, hell yeah, because that makes sense to this story. That makes sense to the beef that these two girls share. So I really like that they went that direction for the start. I think it was around the time that they did the picture in picture where we started to see Cora Jade be a little bit more of the dominant one in this match, with the earlier on it being Roxanne Perez. But by the time that we got to like the middle of this match, it was really them just pushing the story that these two women know each other so well, and you know, they're pretty much doing the exact same things and taking a page out of each other's books and whatnot. So we did see that. In the end, we kind of see the difference between who Roxanne is and who Cora Jade is, because Cora Jade gets the kendo stick. She brings it in, and there's an opportunity for Roxanne Perez to actually use the kendo stick and hit Cora Jade and win the match. So she has this moment of like, okay, I'm going to do it, But then she realizes this is not the way to go. This is not the right thing to do. Obviously, she's a babyface. She's not going to utilize the kendo stick. So she throws it down, and this thus ends up being her downfall, in which Cora Jade, this allows Cora Jade to essentially get the win here. So Cora Jade was the one that was willing to go that next step versus Roxanne Perez. And so I kind of like that they did that, because again, it just reestablishes the story that they've been telling, where Cora Jade is obviously the one that's the jealous one. She's the one that's bitter. She's the one that's angry. She's the one that's, you know, has the hatred for Roxanne. So I love this. I can't wait to see it continue. I think this is going to be pretty fun to see. Alrighty, let's see what we got here, what people are saying. This is from Justin, who says, while I understand Roxanne wanting to win the right way, that finish still made her look like a dope. It's not a good sign for a face when they lose their revenge match after being betrayed. I get what you mean, but I feel like because we know that this is going to go on further, go on longer, I did not mind the outcome. I mean, I did not mind the way that this essentially went down. I thought this was fine for what I feel that they're continuing on with here. So I actually like this. I thought it was fine. It was fine. And we got people putting over this match saying that they loved it. It was good stuff. And I loved how they were just like going at it with each other. That was pretty good to see. This is from Brandon, who says, this match is easily the first of three matches. The next one, Roxanne could almost beat her clean, but Cora wins by cheating, followed by a hardcore or no DQ match where Roxanne finally wins in the end. Bobby C says, yup, no stakes, no gimmicks. Cora cheats to win match one, then match two will have a gimmick, then a third match with a big gimmick. Or they can even do like something straightforward. I mean, they're prolonging the story, like Xeno Hour points out here as well. So I'm totally cool with the way things went down here today, and it just keeps me excited for what they're doing. And here's the thing too, like, this is the feud that, you know, Cora Jade, obviously she's been in NXT a lot longer than Roxanne Perez, but I feel like this is really the story that can get them to that next level in their career on NXT, where it's like Cora Jade did some pretty cool stuff, like when she was in War Games and all of that was fine. You know, what she did with Natty, all of that worked out great. But I feel like they could really start to, like, when you associate Cora, like when you think of Cora Jade, I want them to get to the point where when you think of Cora Jade down the line and like in a couple of years from now, you think, oh shit, remember that feud that she had with Roxanne Perez? Oh my God, that was awesome. And vice versa for Roxanne Perez. And when you think of her, you're like, oh yeah, I remember what she did with Cora Jade. Like, that was so freaking cool. I really hope that they get to that point with Cora Jade and Roxanne. So I really feel like there's a lot of possibility there. But anyways, let's go ahead and move on, because after this, we got the ending of a very, very long-term storyline that they've been doing here on NXT that has officially come to an end. Somewhat of a bittersweet end, because it was entertaining for all of us that were watching NXT 2.0. It was one of the stories that I think when you look back at all of the main stories that we've been seeing on NXT 2.0, this really was one that was one of the strongest in terms of what they were doing each and every single week. I mean, it lasted months. This was Santos Escobar and Tony D'Angelo, you know, everything that they did with who's going to be the Dawn of NXT, and, you know, Santos Escobar and Legado del Fantasma having to go with Tony D'Angelo and work for him. All of the backstage skits that they did, the sleeping with the fishes, this person gets kidnapped, that person gets kidnapped. They did a lot in this story, right? And so this has probably been one of the best NXT 2.0 stories that we've had. And it's come to an end. And while it may suck for the NXT 2.0 people, it is pretty much possibly leading to something pretty, I feel like it feels pretty obvious that we may be seeing Santos Escobar over on the main roster. But before we get to that, we kind of already knew that based on obviously all the changes within WWE, that's one. But two is like the second this whole stipulation thing was announced, like, oh, this is going to be a street fight, no DQ, but we got stakes. And if Santos wins, he and his guys, they're out from, you know, underneath Tony D'Angelo's thumb. They no longer have to take part in this. But if Santos loses, he's gone from NXT forever. So we all kind of knew the second that was made was, okay, Santos Escobar is going to lose, and this is going to be his goodbye as he possibly gets moved up to the main roster. Now, going back again to that WrestleMania 39 launch party, I got to chat with Santos Escobar, and he pretty much, like, this was a read in between the lines interview, but he basically told me, like, without saying it, he was kind of alluding to the fact that he is going to be going over to the main roster. Obviously, he's not going to come out and, like, directly say it. Like, that's not going to be a thing. But he basically alluded to it. It felt very, very obvious. And, you know, we kind of just towed the line there. So you can check that out in that interview. That's up again on my YouTube channel. But that was a really fun one. And I'm really excited for him, man. Like, we've been seeing so much. Like, if you've been watching NXT, like, you know, first, like, for a while, and even seeing everything that Santos Escobar has done on, you know, from the Black and Gold brand, even to this new version of NXT, there's been a lot of good stuff in there. And he's been one of those guys that I think it's like, okay, even prior to this NXT 2.0 stuff, it was already long overdue that he should have been on the main roster, right? So anyways, this match kicks off. This is a fine match, but I really want to talk about the ending. I want to talk about the ending of this match for a specific reason, because the main thing that we've been seeing between these two guys is how no matter what, not one guy has ever let the other guy be more dominant. Like, it's always been a war between Tony and Santos. Always, right? No man has ever been above the other, right? And even if one guy got for 1 week was above the other one would get his revenge. So they were always, you know, going at it, right? And so you learn a lot about them as, you know, who they are as characters, whatever. So the ending of this match, you see both guys. So first and foremost, you see there's a moment where Tony D'Angelo crashes into Electro Lopez, and this is basically like a moment, and Santos Escobar is like, what the fuck, you know? He's pissed off that Tony D'Angelo did that. Tony D'Angelo kind of gives him a low blow, but eventually they end up back in the ring. Once they're in the ring, they find themselves in the center, both completely beaten, you name it, worn out, whatever. They're both right smack in the center of the ring. And this was my favorite part, and I loved the way that they executed this, because they're in the center, and there's a moment where they each have an opportunity to grab their weapons. On Tony D'Angelo's side, he has that crowbar with him. On the Santos Escobar side, he has the brass knucks, right? And so both men are kind of like, you know, getting up. They're getting up. They both notice that each other has the weapons on the other side. And both of them run, get their weapon, and turn around and try to use it on one another, right? But the one who ends up hitting it first is Tony D'Angelo by a second, right? That's the story. That's like, he barely made it. He gets him with the crowbar, and that is how he essentially ends up winning this match. So I liked this because it came down to the wire, where it was like they were both going for it, and it was really just a matter of like a second, right? That's the story that they're going with here. So I loved the finish to this match. I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun. I really liked it. And now Santos Escobar is not to be seen on NXT. And let's see if we see him on Raw or on SmackDown. It's going to be a start of a new chapter there. All right, let's go ahead and see what people are saying here. And Zeno Hour says Dom joined Santos. I don't think so, man. Nah, I don't think so. We got one from Layton who says Santos is going to be the big show. I'm ready for it and happy for him. The question is, will Legado del Fantasma continue, or will this be a long-term setup for an LWO revival? So I would really like it if down the line, Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza, if they both went up with Santos Escobar over on the main roster, because the presentation of them all three together is pretty freaking awesome. Okay, it's pretty cool. They're both a good tag team, so you can add so much more. So you can add, not only are you adding to the roster with Santos Escobar as a singles competitor, but you're also adding to the roster with those two guys as a tag team. So, and clearly what's one of the things that's really been like missing or has really needed some serious sharpening is the tag team division on both Raw and SmackDown, on both brands, really. So let's just go with the illusion that if he goes to SmackDown, dude, that like having Legado del Fantasma there would be freaking awesome. But if you recall, though, they're supposed to be staying on NXT because Tony D'Angelo said that it was just going to be, this was just for Santos Escobar. Like his guys were still going to stay under the rule of Tony D'Angelo. But eventually down the line, I would really like to see them join up with Santos Escobar because they are pretty great. Pretty great. Grounded Hero says, I think Santos will be great on the main roster, but I really want Legado del Fantasma brought up together. Completely agree. I think they should all get brought up. And obviously right now, for the sake of this story, I think they're going to keep him there for a bit, but I won't be surprised if there's like a loophole or something that happens that maybe he kidnaps them. Maybe Santos kidnaps them, kidnaps his own guys from Tony and takes them to the main roster. I don't know, guys. It's not too far-fetched. Everybody's always getting kidnapped on NXT, man. At this point, if any one of us shows up to the NXT parking lot, we're getting kidnapped, all right? Let's be real. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on. This is a comment from Philip who says, hey, Denise, I didn't expect Santos losing to Tony D tonight, but Santos might be moving to the main roster. Great match. Great match indeed. And I feel like it felt pretty straightforward that it was going to be happening. So about damn time. All right, guys, moving on from here. A lot of people are going to be excited about this news. If you've been watching Raw, well, you know that Dexter Lumis has been appearing on Monday Night Raw for the last 2 weeks now. And by appearing, I mean like he's been running in through the crowd and then he gets tackled over by the security. So it's not like the focus is not like super on him. He's supposed to be something that's not supposed to be there, but whatever, right? That's the story that they're going with, whatever. So this brings us over to our next segment. Indy Hartwell and Index. If you guys all know, the storyline here is that Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis are married. They are man and wife. And I'm trying to remember what they did last time. Okay, so prior to Dexter Lumis being released from NXT, he was doing the whole thing where he was almost about to be a tag team with Duke Hudson, right? That was the last thing that happened there because everything that they were doing prior to this was like sucking terribly, right? And then the last final thing was they teased them being a tag team. So that was supposed to be happening. But then they get released. Persia gets released. Dexter gets released. And the only ones that are left are Indy Hartwell and Duke Hudson. So then the week after those releases for NXT, they had this like moment between Duke Hudson and Indy Hartwell where Duke Hudson's like, I forgot what they said, but basically Duke Hudson tried to put the moves on Indy Hartwell and Indy Hartwell was like, no. Like, it's not going to happen, right? And that was it. But, you know, it was alluded to that she was lonely and that she didn't have anybody anymore. And it was alluded to, but I don't think they ever mentioned Dexter's name again. I don't recall them ever mentioning his name again, but it was alluded to. Whatever. So now, Dexter Lumis is back. And a lot of people had been wondering, are we just going to forget that Indy Hartwell is his TV wife? Are we moving on from that? Is that not happening? What's going on? Whatever, right? We haven't really had very many answers. Well, today, Indy Hartwell gets a letter, and that letter is from Dexter Lumis with his little drawings that he does, and it says Index Forever, and it's a love letter with the drawing on the back. And so she has this very, like, oh my God, like, it's my man. She kind of had, like, the, you know, when we've seen this on every movie where, you know, husband goes off to fight in the war and then, you know, we never know what happens. And then the wife finally receives a letter. She's like, oh, you know, all of that. That's what that moment kind of felt like. That's exactly what that moment felt like. Anyways, I tweeted it out, right? I put the little picture Index Forever. I will tell you, it's been a long time since I've tweeted something out of a storyline that legitimately got like the majority of people going, yes, like people legitimately being happy, like, oh my God, Index, this and that. There was a lot of very happy people that Index was teased once again. So this also begs the question, is Indy Hartwell going over to Monday Night Raw? Because clearly it's looking like Dexter's going to be on Raw since that's where he's been running in. So does this mean a call-up for Indy Hartwell down the line? I would hope, I think I would hope so for this sake. One, she can add, the story's already there with Index. She can add to Dexter Lumis's personality because I'm assuming they're not going to have him talk like they don't have him talk. I don't know if they're going to have him talk now, but he didn't talk before. So maybe they're going to have Indy be like that person for him. Go back to like the way, okay, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, you know, they're gone. We don't know what's happening with them, whatever. And Austin Theory, he's off doing, you know, totally different stuff now. So Indy Hartwell is really the only person still left from that group on NXT 2.0. And it kind of sucks, right? Like everybody moved on. Everybody's doing different things. So there is a possibility where I feel like I can see Indy kind of being a manager or something for Dexter Lumis. And I think that would be really cool. I think she would add a lot to Dexter Lumis. And again, the story's already there. They put a lot of time and effort into telling this whole romantic story. Okay, fine. Use it. Have them be, you know, a thing together on the main roster. Gives Indy a little something, you know, for, you know, she's been sticking it out there on NXT for quite some time now. So I do think that Indy may be going over to Raw, but who knows, guys? Who the hell knows? Scoucher Boy says Index are not really married until they do the money dance. Hey, man, I'm telling you, if anybody here is planning a marriage, if they're getting married at some point, do the money dance. Thank me later, guys. Extra couple $100, man. You get yourself some honeymoon could be a little extra special with a extra couple $100. All right, moving on from here. Oh, we also have to talk about Blair Davenport, who is officially made her who appeared on WWE NXT Heatwave. She was the one, by the way, that ripped away the letter from Indy Hartwell and just like ripped it up and basically taunted her and all of that. So, yeah, let's see what else we got. All right, let me move on from here and get into our next topic. All right, so after this, let's talk really quickly about Tiffany Stratton and Wendy Chu. They've been beefing for a long time. We already know this. And they are both talking about how they're over each other, and this is all leading to a lights out match next week. So that should be fun. I got to tell you, I love this Tiffany Stratton-Wendy Chu thing. And the reason I do is because I have such a soft spot for this type of stuff. In the sense that, like, Tiffany Stratton, she's this bougie bitch, right? That's what she's supposed to be. You know, she's supposed to be, you know, the clueless character, you know, like I forgot her freaking name on freaking Clueless. Alicia's character, right, on Clueless. She's supposed to be like Regina George on Mean Girls. I'm trying to remember Rachel McAdams' name in The Hot Chick. I forgot her name on The Hot Chick, but that one too. The point is that I love all these little stories where you have the really like preppy, bougie girl, right? And then you have Wendy Chu, who's like a very, she's more of the regular girl. She's more of like a Lizzie McGuire type, right? So I kind of like these two major differences in Tiffany and Wendy. And that's like the whole point, right, that they've been telling here on this, you know, feud with them, right? They're so totally different and they don't like each other. Down the road after they're feud is one and done, I kind of want them to be an odd couple best friend. Guys, I think that they can have a fun dynamic with Tiffany and Wendy kind of being this like odd couple besties, you know, where they finally made peace with each other down the road. I would kind of like this. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see that. But anyways, that's what we're going with Wendy and Tiffany next week in a lights out match. We got a super chat here from Jay Party TV. Thank you so much to Jay Party TV, who says, I'm thinking Indy joins Theory and Dexter on Raw and Johnny and Candice return and the way is back together on Raw or SmackDown. So this was something that I was talking about in the Raw post show. I don't want to see the way come back all together. I think that they should still keep, like they could allude to it, right? Like let's say Johnny and Candice return, right? They can allude to it. They can have segments, you know, here and there together where that friendship is there. But I don't want to see the way come back together as like, you know, a full on thing. I don't want that. I feel like we don't have to re-see every single thing that we were seeing prior to this on NXT. Like, I'm totally cool with them moving on to something totally new. Like, leave Theory doing what he's doing right now. Do bring up Indy with Dexter. That's great. That's fabulous. Keep them doing their thing. And if Johnny Gargano, you know, Johnny Gargano returns and Candice, let them do their thing. But I just don't think I'd be too crazy about them, like, redoing this whole thing with The Way, only because I feel like I wasn't even that big of a fan. Like, there was some good moments, right? There was some funny stuff where, like, when I think it was Indy and Dexter were on their honeymoon and Johnny Gargano was like watching them in the bedroom because he didn't want Indy to have sex. And Dexter found the condoms. I think Johnny Gargano, I forgot. There was something about condoms and all of this stuff and the whole honeymoon thing and the beach stuff. Y'all remember. That was funny, but I don't think we need to like redo the entire thing. That's personally where I'm at on this. But either way, thank you so much to J Party TV for sending in this super chat. All righty. So, yeah, thank you to Isaac Looper who says the Team Hell No girl version. Yeah, that would be great for Tiffany and Wendy. All right, let's move on from this. Let's get into Mandy Rose versus Zoe Stark for the NXT Women's Championship. So, this was interesting, mainly because they did the little scanning thing, right? The little barcode thing that they've been doing for Zoe. And I never scan those things ever. I get too lazy. I'm like, I gotta turn on my phone. And here's the thing about my phone. I have the Gmail business email. So I cannot turn on my phone and swipe, okay? And just go on my phone. Every goddamn time that I get a text message, a notification, anything, any little goddamn thing that I get on my phone, I have to put my 4-digit passcode. You have no idea how irritating that is. And I can't turn it off because apparently if I'm going to have Gmail business, I have to have my passcode. I hate it. What the hell is I talking about? Oh, yeah, the scanning QR thing. So I tend to not want to use my phone a lot because of this situation. I hate having to swipe and put in my damn code. It's annoying. Anyways. The scanning QR thing comes up and I'm like, I'm going to do it. So I swipe, put my code, take the little picture, do it, right? And it's a picture of Zoe Stark holding up the championship belt. And I'm thinking, okay, either they're going to do like, it was a shot from last week, right? I'm thinking, okay, this is either a spoiler to let us know that Zoe's going to be winning. And if you scanned, you're one of the lucky ones that found out a spoiler. Or they're basically just wasting our time and it's not a spoiler and it really means nothing. She's not going to win, right? Well, it was the latter, okay? It really didn't mean anything. Zoe Stark didn't win. So that was that. It was just a waste of kind of a little bit of time of me actually going out there and scanning the QR code. So it was kind of a waste of time. Waste of my effort. But anyways, I'm glad that they kept the belt on Mandy Rose. I feel like at this point, they've kept it on her for so long. I think they said, 300 something days? I don't even know anymore. But it's been such a long time. It might as well, whenever she loses the title, it might as well be to somebody like a Roxanne Perez, somebody like an Alba Fire, somebody that like the people are behind of and want to see win the NXT Women's Championship. Like at this point, it has to be that way. And Zoe has fans, right? But I don't think that she was as like popular or is as popular as if this would have been like Roxanne Perez trying to go for the title here in this situation or somebody else that somebody else wanted to see win the NXT Women's Championship. So this was a fine match. This was okay. Mandy worked the left leg of Zoe Stark. Nikita Lyons comes in at one point and she ends up taking out both Gigi and JC, gets them out of ringside, etc. Mandy hits her. She does the boot to the face to Zoe, goes for the pin. It's a near fall. And then what she ends up doing is she ends up taking off the knee brace of Zoe Stark, putting it on her own leg. And that's what she ends up using to get Zoe in the face. And that's how she ends up winning this match. So Mandy Rose retains the championship. Perfectly fine, I think. I'm assuming we're probably going to have a rematch with her and Zoe, but I'm glad that Mandy Rose retained though. I just didn't think Zoe was the one to, become NXT Women's Champion right now. We got a super chat here from Brandon Rosen who says, so now that Zoe lost, who's the one to bring down Mandy, Roxanne or Nikita? I would hope that it's Roxanne, but obviously she's going to be, you know, doing the story with Cora Jade for a bit. Nikita Lyons is very popular. So I have a feeling that they might go with Nikita Lyons. It's just a matter of timing, I think. That's how I feel. Like, it's a matter of timing of who they actually think. Personally, I would like to see Alba Fire. I would love to see Alba Fire as NXT Women's Champion. I feel like they're sleeping on Alba Fire. I think there's so much possibility with her as champion. Given that, I feel like right now with Roxanne, they're, you know, she's busy doing her thing with Cora Jade and Nikita. If I had to pick, if it was like Nikita or Alba Fire or any Nikita or anybody else, I would go with Alba Fire for sure. So that's kind of where I'm at. We got another super chat here from J Party TV says, do you think we get Worlds Collide event again? Also, do you think we get Toxic on SmackDown by taking out JC and Gigi? I don't know if we get Worlds Collide again. I have no idea if that's going to happen. But in terms of getting Toxic attraction on SmackDown, I think that would be freaking awesome. Like, they're great. Like, they look great together. This, you know, girl group led by Mandy, I feel like they look pretty badass, man. Like, that's something that I would like. I see, here's the thing. Like, this is why I've personally been a fan of Toxic Attraction. I've been a fan of Toxic Attraction because I'm all here for this, like, dominant girl group. Like, a dominant girl group that's going to come in here and kick some ass. And they kind of started off that way with Toxic Attraction. And then things got a little stale. Things got a little boring. So they kind of needed to re-spice things up. But imagine Toxic Attraction running wild on the main roster, you know, kind of going at it with, you know, some of the other top girls. I feel like there's a lot there that could be pretty damn cool. So personally, I would be a fan of them being on the main roster. And I just, you know, Mandy Rose going from the main roster to NXT 2.0, you know, obviously, I don't know. She's gotten an opportunity to do something great, which is be NXT Women's Champion. And look, what, 300 days now, which we've been talking about. And she's done a lot of good work on NXT 2.0, right? And she's been promoted more so than she probably would have been if she was on, you know, still on Raw. Because the last time we saw her on Raw, she was teaming with Dana Brooke and they were basically just having them be jobbers. They would come out, they looked all super cute, but then they would come out and supposedly going to go into a match. And instead they just had them walk out and do nothing. So when you compare, like, yeah, I would rather be on the main roster, but they did get to have her do a little bit more on NXT than she probably would have on Raw. But regardless, it still kind of feels like a demotion. So personally, I would really like to see Mandy Rose back on the main roster, but in this version that we've been seeing her on NXT. I want to see her with JC. I want to see her with Gigi. I think that would be like a really cool presentation overall. I want to see a kick-ass, and obviously we're getting, you know, Bayley, Dakota, and Io Sky as like a kick-ass girl group, but they're a different type of kick-ass girl group than what Toxic Attraction are. And we don't need, you don't just have to have one. You can have more than one. So that's kind of how I feel about that. J Party TV, thank you so much for the generous super chat as well. Alrighty, and moving on from here, let's get into this next one here. So Quincy Elliott, the super diva, was promoted here today, and for a lot of you guys, you're like, wait, who's Quincy Elliott? Like, who is this person? What's going on? So Quincy Elliott is doing like a super diva gimmick. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Maximum Male Models, to be honest, especially because he did the like the perking of the lips. And we know we've seen Maximum Male Models do that, whatever. So Quincy Elliott is actually, so I got to work with Quincy Elliott back in the day, back in the day. I used to be a ring announcer for Empire Wrestling Federation, which is EWF out in the Inland Empire. Now, I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with them or any of you guys here that may live in the Inland Empire. So they do shows like in West Covina. I'm trying to remember all the other cities. There's like a bunch of other little cities that it's a little bit out of the way for me. I would have to drive a little bit to go to these places, but all these little freaking cities that I'm blanking now on what the hell they were, but I would go to all those little cities and do all those shows with them. And it was really fun because, you know, it was really fun, right? Whatever. So there was a wrestler there, Congo Crush. And basically his character, you know, he's a big, big guy. And he wore a mask and his whole thing was he was the beast, right? Like that's who he was. He was a beast and holy shit, he's huge. And all the little kids, because it's a family promotion, by the way. You can still catch those. Like they're active. It's a family promotion. So you get a lot of kids and families that go that just want to watch wrestling, right? So his character was the big scary guy that was huge, and he had a mask, and he didn't speak English, and he just made sounds, and you know, that's what he did, right? That was his character. So I gotta tell you that it's polar opposite of what I knew him as in EWF. The Quincy Elliott character, totally different. So it did kind of, I was like, oh shit, like this is totally different from what I knew him as in EWF. But you know, really nice kid, man. Like he's a kid. I don't know his actual age, but he's definitely younger than me. So I just remember him like always have, like he's a big guy, right? But he always has like a little baby face. So to me, he's like a kid, even though he's like super, you know, he's a big guy. But he did also like, from what I saw from the last time I saw him and from today's promo, he did cut down a lot of weight too. It seemed like he dropped a lot of weight. So good for him. I'm excited to see Quincy Elliott do this super diva persona on NXT 2.0. I liked the video package, the promo that we got today. He seems to have it down great. And, you know, clearly it's a part of who he is. And yeah, honestly, this was pretty cool. I liked it. I'm excited to see what Quincy Elliott does and how Quincy fits into the NXT 2.0 situation. And as you know, Hour Who Watches Level Up, I don't watch Level Up, guys. But Quincy points out that Quincy is a highlight on Level Up. Alrighty, now let's go ahead and move on from here. Afterwards, we got probably one of the most entertaining endings to an NXT 2.0 show that we've gotten in a while. So this was Bron Breakker versus JD McDonagh for the NXT Championship. This was a fine match, guys. I thought the beginning of this match was a little boring. I really wasn't interested in the beginning of this match. I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't really get interested until the end. Like, I got interested once I saw JD. I think it was after, it was right about the time when he did the Spanish Fly where I started feeling like the match was picking up a little bit more. And I was like, all right, I'm a little bit more interested now, right? But other than that, everything prior to that to me was just a match. But they picked it up, you know, after the Spanish Fly, we saw JD hit a Brain Buster. And then Breakker hits like 2-3 spears on JD McDonagh and ends up winning the match. Great. Breakker retains. Awesome. After this, I'm thinking like, oh, that's the end of NXT. Let me go do my show. So I was really surprised when we ended up getting a surprise. And about freaking time that they have Tyler Bate coming out here on the show, confronting Bron Breakker, holding up the championship, and the closing shot is both men holding up their titles. And let me see if I have the picture here. One second. Let me pull these up really quickly so that y'all can see what I'm talking about, because I want to put the image up. All right. And it's uploading, so give me a second. Anyways, so this was completely unexpected. It kind of went with the theme of the night where we were seeing a lot of NXT UK guys. So here we go. We have Tyler Bate coming out, NXT UK champion. Everybody's like reacting, this and that. So he was literally like one of the hottest guys in the UK independent wrestling scene, you know, at literally 19 freaking years old, okay? 19 years old. So he ends up signing with WWE, wins the UK title, first UK champion. He has a pretty kick-ass match. I think it was TakeOver Chicago with Pete Dunne. And that was something that was, you know, a match that was really talked about a lot. Okay, great. But for the most part, they didn't seem to see the value in him in terms of moving him over to NXT or putting him over, you know, on the main roster or something like that, right? It didn't really seem like they saw the value in him. So for the most part, now for the last couple of years, it's almost like he's been in a land that kind of really didn't matter with NXT UK. I don't know how else to say it, but so for him to finally get to be here on NXT 2.0, I do hope that he goes from NXT 2.0 and quickly onto the main roster. But it seems to me, given that the fact that they ended the show with both men holding up their championships, I will not be surprised if this turns into a unification thing and we see both titles essentially be unified. I think that would be freaking awesome. It would make sense for them to do that, especially given whatever the future of NXT UK is about to be pretty telling based on this, I think. Anyway, so there you go. That's pretty much how the show ended. Let's get some thoughts here. Let's see what people are saying. let's see what people are saying about this. And thank you to Walter Johnson, who says, I do great talking about NXT 2.0. One of the things that I do like to do is, because I know a lot of people don't get to watch NXT 2.0 because, let's be real, a lot of people aren't interested, right? So I try to give as much background as I possibly can for those that haven't been tuning in to the weekly television. I've only missed two episodes of NXT 2.0, and they were for good reason. I was on a honeymoon. Okay. But anyways, let's go ahead and see what people are saying. This is from Fernando, who says, the main event was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It's time Braun goes to the main roster. Like, this could be an opportunity. Like, they can even do it like this. They can have Tyler Bate. They can unify the titles, have Tyler Bate win, have him be the NXT champion, and have Braun Breaker head on over to the main roster. Like, they can do that. That'd be freaking awesome. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens if they do that. But anyway, some, like, if you're not yet familiar with Tyler Bate, I would say that the best way to describe him, I'm trying to think like a good way to describe him. So, like, he does do some high flying moves, but he mostly does like striking and grappling, and that's more of like his thing. But I kind of see him as like a smaller version of Josh Alexander. And Josh Alexander is literally like my favorite wrestler right now. So that's a compliment. I see him more as like a smaller Josh Alexander, you know, obviously doing the UK strong style and that sort of thing. So I think it's going to be really fun. And hopefully, I just think that they should at this point just do away with the NXT UK brand. And that's how I feel about that. And I've been feeling like that for a while. So we'll see what happens. My prediction / hope is that they do unify the titles, have Braun Breaker move on up to the main roster, and have Tyler essentially be the champion over on NXT 2.0 until it's his time to get called up to the main roster. But we'll see. We will see. Alrighty. Let's see what else we got here. YT says the episode where Tyler qualifies for the semifinals of the NXT UK title tournament hasn't even aired yet, let alone the semifinals and final matches from the tournament. Oh man, that sucks. So there you go. Big time spoiler for you guys. Oh man. All right. Let's see what else we got here. This is from Jeremy Jimenez, who says, I don't think they're combining the brands. I don't think they're building up to a Worlds Collide show. Oh, he says, I think they're building up to a Worlds Collide show. Says Jeremy Jimenez. All righty, guys. So there you go. That was NXT 2.0 heat wave here today. Before I go ahead and wrap up this show, for those of you who are like, hey, when does Denise go live? I go live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Tuesdays for NXT 2.0. Tomorrow, I will be here for AEW Dynamite. Friday, I will not be here for Friday because I got a booking to be a backstage interviewer for a boxing show for Next Gen 1. And so I'll be doing that. But I will be here tomorrow to chat AEW Dynamite. So it should be a good time. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please help me spread the word. Share this on social media. If you share it on Twitter, please tag me and I'll make sure to retweet you. If you help me promote the show, I'll make sure to retweet you and give you some love and all of that good stuff. If you haven't already, search up this show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you're not a video person and you only want to listen to the audio version of this show, you can check it out there. Also, if you're familiar with the show and you want to leave a review, you can leave a review over on Apple or on Spotify so that more people can find this show. Because we just started putting it on there. So I really need to start promoting it more so that it can get some reviews on there as well. But other than that, head on over to youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Check out those interviews that I did at the WrestleMania 39 launch party. And there's a lot of really good stuff there. The Seth Rollins interview, the Roxanne interview, the Valerie interview, the Nikki A.S.H. interview, all of that stuff. Please check it out and give it some love. And also my new clips channel, Denise's Pieces. If you guys haven't gone there, it's kind of doing pretty good right now. It's even getting over like the last couple of days. It got 2,000 more views in my main channel and I have way less subscribers on there. I'm really trying to get Denise's Pieces monetized. because it's not monetized yet, and I'm trying to get it monetized. I'm still a ways away from doing that. So go to Denise's Pieces. Give it some love. It's doing pretty good right now. Alrighty, everybody. I'll see you guys tomorrow night for AEW Dynamite Conversation. Bye, guys.